Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. As always, got my co-host, Jack McCurry, alongside with me for the special, I guess you could say, Christmas episode of the Dogland Podcast. I know it's still a few days away, but as we prepare for the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans on Christmas Eve, I guess we can kind of say that we're close enough to Christmas time to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Jack, man, how we doing?
Doing well, man. Getting ready for the holidays. All done shopping. Everything's wrapped. Got to work tomorrow, and then I got a three-day weekend, so pretty pumped about that. And, of course, a big playoff-type game this Sunday with the Browns. Looking forward to that as well, man. How's things on your end?
Well, I'm still sick and still coughing, so I will do my best to mute myself when I try to.
Right.
I have barely bought anything, so if you would be willing to take some extra money, I'd be more than happy to shell it out for you to buy some gifts for me, for my family, and wrap everything. That would just be extremely beneficial.
I would love to do that for you, man, but like, time is not on my side this weekend. Very busy, family plans, girlfriend's family plans, like, got a busy weekend ahead after work tomorrow. So while I would love to help you finish your shopping, I unfortunately could not do that for you, man.
Well, it was worth a shot, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
It's about as much of a shot as the Browns have to clinch a playoff scenario this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm sure you've seen the list, but if Browns fans have not seen the list, the Browns Twitter account and the NFL put it out too, but a list of the ways for the Browns to clinch a playoff spot, obviously all of them revolve or include the Browns winning against Houston on Sunday, but there are a handful of ways that the Browns could clinch a playoff scenario with teams or involving the teams, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Colts, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jaguars, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. So it would take a lot for the Browns to clinch a playoff spot this weekend. There's a couple easy paths. I'll say a couple of those here. So it'd be like a Steelers lost or tie, Broncos lost or tie, a Colts win, and a Jaguars loss. That is an easy one. Another one is a Steelers lost or tie, a Broncos lost or tie, a Colts loss, and then a Dolphins win. So there are numerous scenarios here. It looks like eight different scenarios in this thing here for the Browns to clinch. I told you I'm going to print this thing out and get a hole puncher to keep track of all these losses. Or all these outcomes for these games this weekend. But, you know, Jack, they all include the Browns winning. So, you know, as long as we keep on winning these last three games, you know, there's a high percentage chance the Browns will make the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you have the Steelers and the Bengals playing each other on Saturday night. So one of the scenarios could become feasible depending on how the result of that game goes. Obviously, you know, the Bengals losing, that's like the top scenario. And then you need four other things to happen between Sunday and Monday. But where the Steelers lose, some of the other options become clearer. The Broncos play the Patriots Sunday night. So if the Steelers lose, the Broncos lose. I'm not buying into the Chargers pulling an upset on Buffalo Saturday night, but crazy things happen. And then you have Miami playing. Who they even play Monday night or Sunday afternoon, they play Miami or Dallas. So that one's kind of feasible, but yeah, there's so many combinations of things that can happen. The most important thing though is the Browns just have to take care of business on Sunday. They have to win first and foremost. They can't clinch a playoff spot if they lose to Houston on Sunday, but if they do get their W, then we can kind of scoreboard watch depending on how things shake out on the Saturday games. And who knows, maybe Sunday night we get an early Christmas present before Santa comes. We could pop the champagne or crack open your preferred alcohol beverage and celebrate that the Browns are in the postseason, because it could happen as early as Sunday night.
We could go back and raise a Bud Light for old time's sake. You know,
yes, the good dilly old dilly.
Dilly dilly. and crack one of those open. But Yeah, you know, it's important that the Browns win. You know, if they lose, it becomes very hard for them because of just the tiebreaker scenarios and where that AFC South race is at the moment. Now, if Houston wins, then you're kind of rooting big time against the Jags and the Colts, because the Browns had a tiebreaker over the other two teams in the AFC South, which would be helpful. And with a win on Sunday, Houston could have sole possession of first place. So it could work out, but the easiest and most simple thing would be for the Browns to come away with a victory on Christmas Eve. When we look at the injury report for this week, it is a very long list, probably as long as Santa's list that he has for all the gifts he has to shell out on Christmas. But on both sides of the on both sides here with both teams, you have numerous players on this list. And you know, some of the headliners, you know, Joe Bitonio did not practice today. You know, Flacco is fine, he got back to full today. Njoku is limited, but you know, that's kind of been a thing recently. Wyatt Teller is limited. Eason Pochick was limited. Anthony Walker did not practice today. Over on the Texans side, Will Anderson, their top draft pick, did not practice today or yesterday. Nico Collins, who did not play in their game against Tennessee on Sunday, he was limited today. CJ Stroud still has not practiced, still has not cleared the concussion protocol. Laremy Tunsil was full today for them. Their safety, I think that's Jimmy Ward, is that right?
Yep.
Was limited, upgraded and limited today. So you know, both these teams are pretty banged up. And if, you know, CJ Stroud isn't able to go, Case Keenum likely start, and we'll talk about that. But I tell you what, I think both these teams are hoping for some injury equipment or something from Santa just to try and get better, because, man, this is a lengthy report here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're late in the season. No team is 100%. Obviously, you know, the Browns took an extra day on Wednesday. They just had an extended walkthrough because, A, they haven't had a bye week since week 5. They play another game next Thursday against the Jets. So they're really limited on their rest time in between Sunday's game and Thursday's game. But yeah, I mean, the injury report on both sides is very lengthy. You mentioned Bitonio didn't practice today. He said he was hopeful to be ready to go tomorrow. I think he's kind of on the Joe Thomas plan at this point. Just get him ready for game day on Sunday. Anthony Walker going from an estimated limited on Wednesday to not practicing, that doesn't bode well. Obviously, he tweaked his knee last week in practice, didn't play against the Bears. You know, the rest of the injuries, you know, there was a big much to do about the calf injury, quote unquote, by a national reporter. They didn't practice on Wednesday, so the calf injury is obviously not a major issue with Joe Flacco, but obviously something to still keep an eye on. As far as the rest of the injury report, you hope Ethan Posick's out there. But the rest of the guys, obviously, you know, you mentioned Njoku has a knee issue. Za'Darius Smith, it was just personal. The big concerns, I think, are with Walker and with Juan Thornhill. Obviously, the calf injury has been lingering with Thornhill. You do feel optimistic, though, because Hickman and Daron Harmon and De'Anthony Bell all played well last week against Chicago, so you hope that's a sign of things to come. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of injuries here on both sides of the ball. We'll talk about Houston, obviously. But with us, you know, it's always been next man up, and we just got to keep rolling in the Browns' case.
You know one thing that is not on this injury report?
What's that?
Joe Flacco's beard, because that is officially out.
Yeah. Hopefully the magic didn't go away with the beard going away.
Yeah, hopefully not. That would be awful. You know, good old Samson's hair scenario. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't backfire for the Browns with him, you know, shaving his beard and everything. But let's move and talk about the Houston Texans here, because I mentioned earlier they are in a three-way tie at the moment with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts, all sitting at 8-6 in the AFC South. And this is the first year under new head coach DeMeco Ryans, one of the top candidates for coach of the year. Obviously, well deserved with where the Texans were the last couple seasons, and then coming in this year, performing really well with a rookie quarterback, a new head coach. What's it say about, you know, DeMeco Ryans' style? And you know, a lot of people definitely praise this hire when it happened. And you know, you could make an argument that while CJ Stroud has, you know, played extremely well and will definitely win Rookie of the Year, maybe even get an MVP vote or two, depending on how the AFC South shakes up, you know, over these last few weeks. But they got back to playing really good defense under DeMeco Ryans, and you could definitely tell that that is going to be their strong suit moving forward. But just talk about DeMeco and what you think you've seen so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that he had the track record and the baseline to be a potential great head coach coming from the Shanahan tree, learning under that great staff in San Francisco, obviously going to Houston where he was drafted back in 2006, had a great career there, won Defensive Rookie of the Year, was a big impact player in that defense for his first six seasons of his career before he jumped to Houston or to Philadelphia, excuse me. But we knew it was going to be, we didn't know how quickly he was going to get things turned around just because it was a bad roster, but they did turn it around really quickly, much in part to the extra draft capital they got from the Browns and the Deshaun Watson trade, you know, getting CJ Stroud with the second pick of the draft, trading up with Arizona to get Will Anderson, solidifying the two cornerstones on each side of the ball. And then, you know, the foundation was there with Laremy Tunsil, Nico Collins, guys that they've added in trades and the draft over the years, adding Tank Dell. Unfortunately, he went down with the injury, but you know, the defense, Anthony, you mentioned they drafted Will Anderson last year. They drafted Derek Stingley. He had an injury plagued rookie year, comes back, has had a good second year. So-and-so his rookie season. So they're adding talent on both sides of the ball. They're building the foundation there for long sustained success. But, you know, we didn't know what CJ Stroud was going to be in the NFL. We knew what he was at Ohio State, but to see what he did to start off his career before obviously missing last week with the concussion was sensational. You look at his stats, you mentioned probably going to be offensive rookie of the year, could get some MVP votes, 20 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, very, you know, some people say he's the least accurate quarterback in the league. He is completing 62% of his passes. That could be in large part to the weapons he has, but he's been sensational in getting this franchise turned around because nobody knew what it was going to be in the post Deshaun Watson era. But the future is very bright in Houston. You got the head coach, you got the quarterback. Now you just continue to build around them on both sides of the ball. And I think the Texans are going to be a force in the AFC for years to come if they continue to build around Stroud the right way, and as long as DeMeco Ryans keeps building up that franchise the way he has.
Yeah, you know what? It also says a lot about them and the confidence they had going into the season, because when they made that trade with Arizona, they gave their first-round pick to Arizona for this upcoming draft, not the one that they have from the Browns incoming. So you, if you're going to do that, you have to be very, you know, you have to set the expectations that you're going to perform well, because, you know, it could have turned into a situation like Carolina, you know, who gave their first round pick to the Bears for this upcoming draft. And the Bears are probably going to have the number one pick from Carolina. So, you know, you have to have that confidence in your team, and, you know, with what they have been able to do, I think it says a lot with the direction that they're going to be heading in over these next few seasons.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look, like you said, right now they've traded the 17th pick to Arizona to move up to get Will Anderson. Will Anderson was having a solid rookie campaign. He's going to be a great pass rusher for years to come in the AFC and for the Texans franchise. It was a bold move, but it's paying off. I mean, and that's what you have to do. It didn't work out for Carolina because they thought that they had the guy in Bryce Young and I thought they had the right coaching staff around him. Obviously, things have changed. It's not going well in Carolina, and Chicago is going to reap the benefits from it, getting a superstar wide receiver in DJ Moore, and now they're going to have the number one pick in the draft where they can potentially draft Justin Fields' replacement or give Justin Fields another weapon in Marvin Harrison. So these draft day trades, and Anthony, we know better than anybody dealing with the Browns and all the draft day trades they've made in the past 25 years, it could help you, or in, you know, the Browns' case in the past and Carolina's case now, it's going to bite. So Houston took a gamble and they wanted to come away with who they thought were two of the top three best players in the draft. And they did so, and they knocked it out of the ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did. And, you know, it just says a lot about, you know, where they could be heading, you know, over these next few years. And, you know, they could win the AFC South this year. It's definitely in the realm of possibility that they're able to do that. And that would be incredible for a first year head coach to be able to do that. As far as CJ Stroud goes, so he did have the concussion. He did not play in the game. A thrilling overtime win for the Texans against the Titans on Sunday. Did not play. As of right now, he still has not cleared concussion protocol, and the reports are that he is unlikely to play this Sunday. So our old friend Case Keenum will be starting in replacement for CJ Stroud if he's not able to go. And, you know, it's interesting because over these last three weeks, Jack, the Browns will be facing three backup quarterbacks. They'll be facing Case Keenum. They'll be facing Zach Wilson against the Jets. And then they'll be facing Jake Browning with the Bengals. So it could be good for the Browns. But, you know, the Texans will be able to move the ball quite a bit, I think. And, you know, we'll see what our old buddy Case Keenum is going to be able to do on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that we won't get to see CJ Stroud because this is a potential playoff matchup with the Browns and the Texans. If the Texans end up winning the division, because the Browns are sitting in the five seed, so they would play whoever wins the AFC South as things stand right now. But, you know, talking about Case Keenum, obviously we're familiar with him because he was the backup to Baker Mayfield for a couple of years, started two games in 2021, was good for the Browns. I think he was a good mentor for Baker Mayfield. But when he came in and had to play, he was effective and helped the Browns get two wins in that 2021 season. Obviously moved to Buffalo last year where he's backing up Josh Allen. And now he's back in Houston where his NFL career started, mentoring CJ Stroud. And I think it's a great mentor in terms of Keenum on the field. He was okay against Tennessee. Obviously they ended up pulling off the win. He had a good supporting cast, including the running game. He did turn the ball over once. You know, that's the one thing with Keenum. He's always been pretty good at protecting the football. You know, he had a couple years where he had double-digit interceptions with the Rams and with the Broncos back in 2018. But for the most part, he's always protected the football, doesn't like to turn it over a lot. He's a guy that relies on the running game a lot. But he does, when things open up, he can make the throws down the field. He doesn't have the strongest arm. Seeing his average depth of target last week was like 8.4 yards. So don't expect him to really push it down the field. But Houston does have weapons. But the biggest thing is for the Browns, they got to put pressure on Keenum, force him to make some bad throws. And we know how dominant our defense has been. Anthony, especially this last month, they've been really upticking and getting turnovers. So if they can put pressure on Case this week, I expect him to make some bad throws. And I think our defense can definitely capitalize on it.
Yeah. And when you look at, you know, what the Texans had at receiver last week, obviously they were missing Nico Collins as well from that group. So, you know, Noah Brown was the big receiver last week, 8 catches, 82 yards, 11 targets. Dalton Schultz, you know, they got Devin Singletary involved as well in the passing game. He had 4 catches for 49 yards. So, you know, we'll see what they're able to do. If Nico Collins is able to play, you know, he definitely helps them stretch the field a little bit. You know, what do you think defensively this Browns team needs to do to, you know, contain the Texans as much as possible? You know, Singletary did have 121 yards last week against Tennessee, which, you know, still has a fairly decent defense.
Yeah, I mean, with Cleveland, they gotta focus in on shutting down Singletary. Because if you get the running game going, we've seen it when Keenum was here. D'Ernest Johnson was the lead back both games. Keenum had to start, and he had over 100 yards in both games. So I think the Browns' main focus would be to shut down Devin Singletary. Yes, Houston has weapons, like you mentioned. If Nico Collins comes back, that's going to be huge for them. But Noah Brown has put up some good performances like he did last week. Dalton Schultz is a solid tight end in this league. Robert Woods, a solid veteran receiver. But the focus, I think, is going to be on stopping Singletary. He was solid in Buffalo, came down to Houston. I think the expectation was he was going to split time with Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce has regressed in his second season. The Singletary's become the lead back, has been effective in the passing game as well. So I think they have to hone in on stopping him while also trying to put pressure on Keenum, force him to try to make some bad throws. But if they can stop the running game and force Keenum to throw a lot, I think this defense could tee off on him and, you know, hopefully force some turnovers, but more importantly, force a lot of three and outs and force Houston to punt the ball and to put the ball in the Browns offense's hands.
Yeah, that was one thing the Browns did really well against the Bears last week. They had 8 three and outs against the Bears, which is pretty damn good as a defense to be able to do that. So, you know, hopefully we can get a repetition of that. Hopefully it doesn't come down to a Hail Mary, because I don't know if I could take that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But, you know, offensively, what do the Browns need to do? Because, you know, the Texans are really stout against the run. They're second in the league in yards per carry and what they're giving up. They only give up 3.4 yards per carry. Obviously, the Browns have had a rough time with the running game, you know, not only because of Nick Chubb, but, you know, you're on your fourth and fifth offensive tackle. You're on your second center. We'll see if Joe Bitonio is able to go. If not, you're on your third guard. So with the struggles of the offensive line and just the health there, you know, the Browns have not been able to consistently run the football over the last month or so. So what would you do if you're the Browns in terms of trying to attack the Houston defense?
Well, the good thing with the Texans defense, Anthony, is that they're banged up right now, just like the Browns are. We mentioned Will Anderson's hurt, likely not going to play. Blake Cashman, their leading tackler, he's not likely to play. So that's two key components of what's a good Texans defense that is getting better. You would hope they can find some way to get the run game going, just because, you know, that's the one thing that's been lacking on the offense here the last several weeks. You know, you look at this Texans defense, they are losing Will Anderson, who's been really dominant, but you still have Malik Collins up front, who's got 5 sacks and has hit the quarterback 16 times. You have Jonathan Greenard. I don't know how you pronounce that last name. He's got 12.5 sacks that leads the team. He's been effective getting after the quarterback. They're going to have to protect Flacco, although he's, for a guy that's 38 years old, has seemed to have been able to move out at times and avoid pressure and avoid getting sacked. I would really love to see this running game get going, but the passing game is going to have to be effective. Maybe get the screen game going, get Pierre Strong involved. The tight end screen with Njoku has been really effective, just getting the ball out quickly against this defensive front. But you're going to have to take your shots down the field, but this secondary that Houston has is pretty good with Steven Nelson, Derek Stingley, who I mentioned, their number one pick last year, Jimmy Ward at free safety, Jalen Petrie, who had an interception against us last year and Watson's first game back. So this is a good, talented Texans secondary, but I think the Browns are going to continue to take their chances downfield. You just hope that Flacco limits the turnovers, because that's the one downside to his game since he's taken over as a starting quarterback. So if they can, you know, give him time to throw and our receivers can make some big plays against this Texans secondary, I think the Browns are definitely going to have a chance on Sunday.
So on my way to work this morning, I was listening to Carmen Lima, and they had Nathan Zagura on, and he brought up that the coverage that the Texans run the most, the quarters coverage, is the same type of coverage that Marquise Goodwin was able to get that very long completion and catch on Sunday against the Bears. So if they run that, you know, look to see for Amari Cooper for Marquise Goodwin to maybe help out. And not only did he get that long completion, but on the last drive there, that first pass to Njoku, Goodwin went on a fly route, and that was able to clear out the area for Njoku to get wide open there. So if that's the kind of coverage that the Texans are going to favor, you know, those are a couple plays from last week that the Browns had success on and you know, could also have continued success this week.
Yeah, and I mean, Cedric Tillman's been a guy that's been getting more involved in the offense. He was a great vertical threat at Tennessee, and it was one of the big things that stuck out on his college tape. And there was the Josh Gordon comp, and we know how good Josh Gordon was in the vertical game and how he came on in his rookie year. Tillman's been slowly been getting more involved in the offensive game plan. I could see something for him getting deep in the vertical passing game and that against that type of defense to where he can make a big explosive play that, you know, could be the difference maker in Sunday's game. I know Marquise Goodwin's got the speed, but Cedric Tillman has the size. He's shown it in college. He's slowly been making flash plays here and there. Obviously, he's had his mistakes too, which have been well documented, but I could see him making a big play on Sunday potentially that could swing the game one way or another.
Yeah, on that first interception by Flacco, if Flacco had another like half a second and then it has to like force... If he didn't have to force that throw, Tillman was going to be wide open for a touchdown if Flacco was able to get, you know, underneath that quite a bit. So there was certainly a path there, and, you know, maybe this week we'll be able to see that, you know, develop a little bit more. All right. As I, you know, put you to the fire here, what is your prediction for the Browns playing on Christmas Eve? Are we going to have a happy Christmas?
I think we are. I think while we're banged up, the Texans are as banged up, but I just don't think they have the depth that the Browns have at this point to weather the storms the way that we have been able to. I think they're building something in Houston. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for the next several years. But I just don't think that time is yet for them. I think, you know, next year, I think they're going to be a viable threat in the AFC. And we still might see them in a couple weeks in the wild card round. But I'm going with the Browns on this one. I think it is going to be a close game just because I do think, despite some of the losses Houston has on defense, I still think they have a tough one. And I think they'll give this Browns offense some fits. But I think the Browns come away with this one to improve to 10-5. I'm going to go Browns 23, Texans 17.
All right. I'm with you. I think, you know, we can go down there. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Browns fans in Houston. There were the last time that we played down there last year. And I think we go back there again next year, or there's the opportunity to, with how the schedule works out with the, you know, being playing the same place finisher in the division and whatnot. So there's could be a scenario where we go down there for a third year in a row next year, but, yeah, I think they pull this one out as well. You know, if I had to put a score on it, I'll say the Browns 27, the Texans 20. I think we'll be able to score some points. Hopefully we can get the running game going. That would be huge going forward if we're able to get the running game because they desperately need it. And I think it would open up so much more if they're able to. But we'll see if they're able to do that. We'll see if we're going to have a wonderful Christmas Eve with the Browns win. It's been a while that I can remember that we've played on Christmas Eve, I think. Was it last year or the year before we played on Christmas?
We played on Christmas Eve last year, and it's a game that I just try to keep out of my memory.
Well, obviously, I forgot about it.
It was the Ice Bowl against New Orleans.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we know how that one went. Really debunked everybody's, we don't need a dome and the weather plays in our factor.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a good reason I blocked that one out then that we played
on Christmas. I tried to, and people bring it up and then it just irks my soul again. Not your fault, Anthony, but just
that's
other
right.
Browns fans.
That's all right. I'm dying over here. So we're going to.
And we played on Christmas against Green Bay. And that was another game I like to block out because that was another bad memory.
It wasn't somebody playing too much Call of Duty or something? Or
well, yeah, COVID. So, I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
But, you know.
shout out Baker. You helped me win a playoff game last week in fantasy. So
I had a comment. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Just keep it to yourself.
All right. We're going to get on out of here. As always, be sure to follow me and Jack on Twitter at JackMcCurry08, me at Anthony Jokey, Jokey. Follow the Dogland on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at the Dogland handle. We will be back, not sure when.
Tuesday. We'll Tuesday? Say Tuesday.
All right, we'll say Tuesday.
Obviously because of the holiday and everything. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yep, absolutely. You know, hopefully everybody has a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy the time with your family. If you don't celebrate Christmas, you know, hopefully you still have a good time and you know, able to relax this time of year, because, you know, there's just craziness everywhere. Everybody who is traveling, be safe. And we'll see you on Tuesday night. Hopefully we'll be opening a Browns win early on Christmas Eve. And with all that, remember, most importantly, go Browns.